This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Today, one candidate for Congress and another for State House. Coming up, Republican Beth Griffin is running for State House in the district that includes Van Buren County and Northwest Kalamazoo County. But first, Paul Clements ran for Congress 2 years ago in the 6th Congressional District. This year, he is once again the Democratic candidate in the southwest corner of Michigan. He's running for the seat which is currently held by Republican Fred Upton. Paul Clements, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Gordon. Nice to be back.
Please reintroduce yourself to the audience. Tell them about yourself.
Sure. Well, Gordon, you know, I'm Paul Clements. I'm a professor here at Western. I teach national economic development here. I've been here for 20 years. My wife is a librarian. Our two daughters went to Kalamazoo Central. We've been very active in our church and in the community for many years. And I was born in Texas, but I grew up mostly in Hong Kong and India. My mom and dad were Methodist missionaries. My dad was a social worker, so they did economic and social development with the refugees coming out of China in Bombay, in the slums of Bombay, and in villages in India. Like when I was in high school in New Delhi, I spent most of my holidays either in these village slum projects or in village development projects or in the slums where my mom and dad were working. And that was kind of where I got my first understanding of service as part of, you know, who I am, part of my vocation. I was fortunate to get a scholarship to Harvard, also work my way through for living expenses. And then I went on to the U.S. Peace Corps. I was a Peace Corps volunteer in the Gambia in West Africa, a math teacher. I met my wife there. Our first daughter was born there. Went back and got my master's and PhD at Princeton in their public affairs program, which is both economics and political science, focusing on how you get government to work more effectively for the people. In 1996, I got my PhD and came to Kalamazoo, got a job here at Western. I've been here since those times, and it's been 20 wonderful years.
What would you like to do then if you are elected to Congress?
Well, you know, I teach economic development, and I look around at our country, and it seems to me that the biggest challenge we face right now is we've got an economy that's working pretty well for the big corporations, it's working for the millionaires, but it's not working for most Americans. And we certainly see that here in the district, whether we're talking about, you know, here in the United States, we have the highest child poverty of any industrial country except Romania. Here in the district, we have 20% of our kids who go to school hungry sometime during the year. Here at Western, we see so many of our students graduating with enormous debt, and they can't get their lives started because of that. But, you know, even people who have jobs, we've seen jobs kind of coming back after the Depression, recession, finally. But the median wage is still below what it was back in the year 2000. Now, we've had 35 years of pretty good economic growth, but almost all the benefits of that growth have gone to the very few at the top. In the last 15 years, all the benefits have gone to the few at the top. The median, the average has actually gone down. And that's just not right. And where the problem is, you know, the central problem really is with our Congress, both in terms of how it's been bought out by enormous campaign contributions, and there are so many tax subsidies, tax loopholes, ways that the economy is rigged in favor of the big corporations, and also in terms of it's not doing the kind of things that we need to do to build a broad and inclusive economy. So those are the key things where I'm running and that I intend to work on in Congress.
Okay, so how would you unrig the tax system in such a way so that the benefits are more spread out across different points on the economic spectrum?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of pieces to that puzzle. But, you know, the first thing is that there have been so many tax loopholes and tax subsidies written into our tax code. It's thousands of pages long. We just need to clear those out. And that you know, will take care of a big part of the problem.
A simplified tax code, you think?
Simplified. But, you know, for example, my opponent, Fred Upton, has voted for enormous subsidies for the oil and gas industry, which, you know, they're making enormous profits. We just don't need that. But there's the carried interest deduction that allowed Mitt Romney to pay 15% tax on most of his millions, which, you know, is just wrong. We still subsidize companies for moving their production overseas. We allow companies to make their money here in the United States and then park their headquarters somewhere else and avoid paying tax on it. And that's not right. So there's a whole range of specific tasks, but there's also things like, you know, why are medicines cost so much? This is how the system gets rigged. You know, Fred Upton, he talks a lot about health care, but he's one of the people who voted so Medicare can't negotiate drug prices with our pharmaceutical companies. He pushed so we can't import generic drugs from Canada. And these are some of the biggest reasons that our drug prices are so much higher than they are in most countries, in every other country around the world.
Do you favor any additional limitations on trade, something that the Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump has been talking about?
You know, trade has been a big issue in this campaign, obviously nationally, and a lot of the discussion is around the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and that's something that I'm opposed to, as is Donald Trump and as is Hillary Clinton. Now, it's interesting, Fred Upton just came out last week saying he's also opposed to it, which I was a little surprised at since he's supported every free trade, every trade agreement in the last 20 years. And he's already voted twice in favor of the Trans-Pacific Partnership in terms of pushing for fast track. But I'll tell you, and again, it's not that we want to go back to the kind of protectionism that got us into the Great Depression. The problem is that, and I teach economic development, our trade partners, we see our government working with business. And in Europe, in Germany, in France, Sweden, Austria, government worked with business and with labor to see which are the growing sectors, which are the sectors with increasing world demand, and then how do they build the economy so that those sectors are growing. So we have the educated workforce, the advanced technology, the clean, easy regulatory structure, and then the trade piece is also a piece of that. So we want to build our trade relations so that those sectors of the economy that are likely to grow in the future are growing here because, you know, just in the 21st century, just like the 20th century, we need to be making things that the world needs. It's still going to be through production, making things that you get good middle-class jobs. That's going to be the basis of an economy. And our Congress and our government has frankly been neglecting that. And the Trans-Pacific Partnership and NAFTA, these pay no attention to these issues. Another side of it is that people lose their jobs when you have these free trade agreements. And there were some tiny provisions to give support to those, but they just haven't worked. The estimates indicate that if TPP were to pass, we would lose almost 6,000 manufacturing jobs here in Southwest Michigan. And that's not right, here in the 6th District.
So you're opposed to TPP. Would you go back and undo NAFTA or renegotiate it if given that opportunity?
You know, when you've got something which has been in place for so many years, going back and renegotiating, if you want something, you have to probably have to give something up. Yes, I do think there's room to improve it. It's kind of hard when something's been in place for a long time just to start from, you can't go back to square one.
One of the things you mentioned on your website is quality preschool. How would you expand that in the United States and how would you pay for it?
Well, that's a very good point. You know, one thing we know now for sure is that learning begins at day one and that good quality preschool pays for itself 8 to 15 times over in terms of better wages, in terms of reduced juvenile and adult crime down the road. It just makes sense for young children to start off with a very strong foundation. It's also not that expensive. You know, I mean, the big challenge would really be training the good quality preschool teachers. And that's why it's something you can't just say, we're gonna move from today to tomorrow to universal access to good quality preschool. We need to go there, but the challenge will be to set up the institutions to work with local communities, to train the teachers so we can provide it. In terms of paying for it, it's a tiny proportion of the you know, again, if we fix the broken tax system, it'll be 2 or 3% max that need to go into paying preschool teachers.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Paul Clements. He is the Democratic candidate for Congress in the 6th Congressional District, currently represented by Republican Fred Upton. Let me ask you a little bit about foreign policy. There's a lot of areas of the world we could talk about, so I'm going to try to boil this down to a fairly simple philosophical question. And,
sure.
And what is vital interest of the United States, and when would you say that that interest merits some sort of military action?
You know, I'm on record as having been opposed to the invasion of Iraq. That turned out to be on false information. I think we should be extraordinarily cautious in when we use our military forces abroad. I think that in terms of the current issues in Syria, that it's really a mess over there. That's no news to anyone. But if we look at the experience in Afghanistan, if we look at the experience in Iraq, that sending the army in to our military forces on the ground in to try to, you know, bring democracy or fix problems in foreign countries, that so often it just doesn't work. That the general philosophical approach I take is that it usually is going to be the local people or the people in the region who are going to need to solve their own problems. We need to support them. We need to be providing a strong example of democracy. If they're, you know, someone like Osama bin Laden, of course we need to go after Osama bin Laden. If someone who directly attacks us on American soil, then they're our enemy. There's no question about that. But in terms of, you know, it's a tough world out there. We want to work with our allies, work with friends to try to encourage the development of economies, of democracies. But from a sort of a, I don't know, sort of a bottom up, that if they can't solve their, you know, Syria, it's a terrible problem. There are millions of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people who have died. There's millions of refugees. I don't want to underestimate that, but it doesn't present a significant, an existential threat to the United States in any way, shape, or form.
Does there ever reach a point where a humanitarian crisis gets so bad that you say maybe there is not a direct threat to United States interests? There's no reason to believe the United States is going to be attacked, but the sheer number of people who have, you know, been killed or injured or are having to flee their homes means that the United States, with the largest military in the world, has to act.
I do think that you sometimes cross that line, and I would say that the Rwandan genocide provides an example of that. That, you know, we do have these cases where one people in a country turn on another people and literally try to kill them off. And that's just so terrible. We can't accept these extreme violations of human rights. But it also has to be something where you see a clear pathway to, you know, how you get in and how you get out. And in Syria, for example, you know, the Assad government has been a pretty awful government in a lot of ways. But it looks as though, from a strategic perspective, that, you know, he might be around for some time to come. And it might be that we need to accept that and, again, work with the neighbors in the region to say, how do we establish peace and security for the majority of people there, stem the refugee tide, and stop the killing?
How expensive do you expect this race to be? A lot of money on both sides?
You know that my opponent, Fred Upton, he's one of the top recipients of out-of-state corporate PAC contributions in the U.S. Congress. He's going to spend more than I am, but I'm proud to say that our campaign tens of thousands of contributors, I think over 2,000 contributors at this point, overwhelmingly from within the district, overwhelmingly from individuals, that we have broken the record for Democratic fundraising in the district. We are competitive with Mr. Upton on television. And we're running a very strong campaign, and I'm cautiously optimistic that the voters will see that Mr. Upton is not representing their interests.
But I think if I went back and listened to the interview 2 years ago, you said the same thing, that you were cautiously optimistic and you got a little more than 40% of the vote. Do you see anything that tells you that 2016 is different than 2014?
Well, for one thing, it's a presidential year, and we know that the turnout in a presidential year tends to be 50% higher. Secondly is, you know, when you do something once, you learn something, you know, and having had the experience, last time was my first time to run for public office, and every part of our campaign is just better, stronger than what we had 2 years ago. I've focusing more on just the economic insecurity that so many of our people face and how it really stems from an economy that's rigged, from a Congress that's broken. And I think that people are really picking up on that as where the country is. And this is really the core issue that our government needs to be addressing. So that encourages me. And then I will mention that, you know, just in an election that often the top of the ticket has a significant influence. And Donald Trump happens to be extraordinarily unpopular in our district. And that might help me.
Paul Clements, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Paul Clements is the Democratic candidate for Congress in the 6th Congressional District. He is running for the seat in Southwest Michigan, which is currently held by Republican Fred Upton. An interview with Republican Congressman Fred Upton has been scheduled for later this month.